What's up, Doc?
And welcome to the Movie Maidens podcast. As always, you are joined by me, Dorsa.
Me, Morgan.
And me, Margot.
And today we have an extra special guest with us.
Yes, she's joining our royal court.
What's up, Doc? It's me, Haley Richards.
Hello.
Yay. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Yay.
We have our dear friend Haley on today to help us talk about today's topic, screwball comedies and slapstick. Yay.
Yeah.
More specifically, what's up, Doc?
Yes. Yeah. So I thought, first of all, let's introduce our guest a little more before we get into the topic. I thought, Haley, you know, maybe you could give a little intro about yourself and to, you know, not put too much pressure on you if you can't think of anything. Maybe just your Letterboxd top four.
Ooh, that's good. God. True.
It's been a rough time trying to figure that out. I keep going back and forth between, like, being genuine and doing just general bits.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For a while, my top four was the movie Ghosted.
Yes,
if you're
yes.
familiar, the Chris Evans one where he makes love farmer style.
Beautiful.
But right now I have What's Up, Doc, because
classic.
Recency mm-hmm. bias, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Promising Young Woman.
Mm. Okay.
Daisies.
Go.
Yes, love Daisies.
Goated.
And So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Okay, so all feminist awesome movies.
That's yeah.
Pretty freaking cool.
That's a great top four.
That is a great top four. Reconsider my top four.
Making me want to re-add What's Up, Doc to my top
yeah.
four again.
Wow. What's Up, Doc? So good. Five stars, I think. I think I've done it to five stars.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to say, Haley? Maybe like, you know, what's your why do you love film?
Why don't I love film?
Wow.
I can't list any
good
reasons.
Good answer.
Bing. I just love everything about movies. Obviously, since going to Vancouver Film School, production design is what I notice every single time.
Yeah, that's right. Film. She was with me in production design at Vancouver.
Yeah. We just kind of crushed it. I love watching yeah. movies and being like, yo, I worked with that prop.
No, literally, actually relatable. Yeah.
But yeah, I just love everything about it. Writing, production design, just there's so many elements.
There are. So much has yeah. to come together to make one
so
unified
collaborative.
Piece. True.
There you go.
As people who've studied production and writing, we're half writers, half production this episode.
We are.
True.
Evening the playing fields.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. Usually the playing field is less even, obviously.
And we've all dipped each other's toes into the various ointments of our talent.
Yes.
Yes.
We've all tried various things.
That's true. Haley's kind of unk, though. She's graduated,
Stop.
Laurier.
I know.
Wow. No, she's alum. She's alumni.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah. Alum.
Yeah, don't be disrespecting the alum.
I'm not disrespecting her. I was just yeah. saying that she's free of education.
That's true. But yet I still went to a class today to sit in.
True.
On
that's because
a topic.
You couldn't help yourself.
I know.
You just couldn't.
You just love learning.
Laurier is just
love
so good,
academia.
Guys.
It was mm-hmm. just the goat. Drew Jeffries had to shout him out again.
Yeah.
Literally.
Dr. Drew Jeffries, our yeah. actual goat.
If you're Literally. Listening, hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Thanks for being the one five-star review we have.
We have two.
We have two.
Five-star
wow. Yeah, we have two.
Well, thank you, Dr. Drew Jeffries, for being our first five-star yep. review of our podcast on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Big
but
stuff.
Since we're talking about screwball comedies today, I thought I'd do a little, you know, a little background for maybe some listeners that are like, what the frickin' heck are they screwball? What the heck are they frickin' talking about them damn broads? You know, for
yeah.
anyone that's, you know, eating meatloaf in the 1940s. you know, just a little background. So screwball comedies, originally the definition of it was just, you know, a movie with a happy ending because, you know, they started to kind of pop up like after the Great Depression in the US. But today, like, we really associate it with like the films that kind of evoke that kind of comedy, laughter from that comedy. It's one of the oldest, like, kind of solid film genres, largely due to, you know, there's like a big element of slapstick in screwball comedies, which is something that can be done like without sound, like even like silent shorts were doing that sort of thing. You know, you can see it through like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Laurel and Hardy. But there's other, you know, there's also like romantic screwball comedies too. So there's like little like subgenres in between them.
That's my favorite.
I was about to say my personal favorite.
I think that's usually what makes for the most fun viewing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's usually kind of an element of juxtaposition in screwball comedies, you know, which, which, you know, kind of just exaggerate everything. You know, they say that comedy is drama times 100, right? It's all like through exaggeration. You know, some themes could be, you know, like educated versus uneducated, like you see this in My Man Godfrey. But like having kind of reversals of those juxtapositions where like it's like, oh, you know, the most educated person in the room isn't necessarily the most smartest, you know, poor people financially, they're like rich emotionally, you know, those sort of things, you know, things between gender roles as well. And you also see a focus on individual stars with this type of
your
genre.
Yeah, the rise of the screwball dame.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I have some examples here. We've got Katherine Hepburn, Carole Lombard, Barbara Stanwyck, just a couple of examples.
Did you know that, actually, sorry for the multiple Drew Jeffries mentions, but Barbara Stanwyck is Drew Jeffries' favorite old Hollywood actress.
Wow.
See, she's one of my favorite as well.
I didn't even know that, but I put her on the list.
I didn't even know that either. Yeah.
I pay attention. But also, I was like, I love Betty Davis to him. And he was like, I love Barbara Stanwyck. That's my personal favorite. And that's how I found out. But I also love Barbara Stanwyck. She's so good. She's so funny.
She is. She is. Some movies you might know from Katherine Hepburn, Bringing Up Baby, from 1938, The Philadelphia Story, Holiday, also from 1938. And all three of those also have Cary Grant, who...
Also my goat.
Also Margot's goat, and also is in a lot of screwball comedies. But to get to our topic of today of What's Up, Doc? So this is from 1972. So it's outside of that kind of golden age of screwball comedies, which is, you know, like the 30s, the 40s, even you can argue into the early 50s, like around 52. But the strong screwball influences are there. And I think this could be attributed to the director, Peter Bogdanovich, who, before he became a director, he was a film critic, and he was a writer in Esquire and the American magazine Film Culture. And then he was a New Hollywood director, which, as we know, in New Hollywood, these are all people that were fans of film. You know, they were students of film, they were critics. So I definitely think that love of that film studies love of older movies comes through.
Yeah, for sure.
I love Peter Bogdanovich's films so much.
Yeah, he's a big director.
What else has he done?
He did The Last Picture Show. Obviously, this film.
Did
he also do Paper Moon?
That's
yeah.
Moon.
And I love Paper Moon.
Yeah, he actually only passed away a couple of years ago in 2022.
Damn.
I remember.
Did you do it?
Let's not talk about that.
Oh. But What's Up, Doc, though, to go talking about it again. Actually, fun fact about Peter Bogdanovich. He's actually an actor in The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
In HBO Sopranos. Yeah. Wow. He plays Tony's psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, pretty awesome.
It's so funny when Tony finds out. I'm pretty sure it's in season one where he first finds out that his psychiatrist has a psychiatrist. He's like, what the fuck? Like, he's like, oh, my shrink's got a shrink. like
they haven't streamlined this yet.
Like, I don't think he like even says anything, but he's like, oh my god. He's like, oh my fucking god.
There's levels to this that he didn't know. But yeah, this stars Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neill. Which, fun fact, Ryan O'Neill's younger brother, Kevin O'Neill, plays a delivery boy in this movie.
Oh, is he at the star of the movie, like the pizza boy?
I'm not sure. Because I couldn't find a picture of him from the movie, but I discovered this while looking at the cast. I was like, why is there another O'Neill?
That's
and
cool.
Then I looked it up and he was his younger brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
We were just talking about the cast too before we came on.
Yeah.
Because Kaylee learned that Dennis Quaid and Randy Quaid are brothers.
Yep.
And that Randy Quaid is in this. And I was like, oh, he's also in Paper Moon, another Bogdanovich.
Mm-hmm.
As the musicologist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what would you guys say are some scenes maybe where you see that screwball in
bro, like well, every scene.
Yeah. I know, but
yeah,
to get the conversation started.
I feel especially at the end, like when it just like all comes together, like the bags finally get switched and there's just a car chase scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a car chase. At the beginning of the film, there's like several like automobile accidents that are just like funny.
There's a lot of funny car crashes.
Yeah,
in this
and
movie.
And I enjoy a funny car crash a lot, actually.
Kind of like Germa in that way.
Yeah.
I don't get that reference. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm just.
Wow.
Thank you, Dorsa.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't understand either.
No, we could. I'll bring up my point later.
No, you could go. The floor is yours.
I was gonna say this isn't related to like one of my favorite things about What's Up Doc is just like how intelligent the writing is, and I think that's what really lends it to its comedies, because like the character, like she's really intelligent, but then also like the dialogue's intelligent and they talk so quickly, which I find is an example of intelligence. And I just like a smart movie because I'm just sick of dumb movies, and this is like, and screwball comedies a lot of the time are really intelligent comedies, and I really enjoy that about them.
There you go. You gotta know what's going on to be able to then do the opposite of what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I feel like a lot of people think of slapstick and think dumb comedy, but oftentimes it's paired like with
bro.
Good timing.
Yo, don't be do not be calling slapstick dumb comedy around me.
That's true.
If you guys catch me in the streets and you actually call slapstick comedy dumb, I'm actually gonna I'll actually freaking knock you the frick out with
one. You're
gonna
knock their block
punch.
Off, bro.
Yes. Yes. There'll be a cartoonish shaped hole in the ground from
they'll step on a rake and it'll hit them in the face.
Yeah, bro. Laurel and Hardy gotta be, I mean, I feel like I've mentioned this already on the podcast, but they gotta be, to me, they're like the two most successful comedians of all time, because not only did they conquer the transition, conquer like sound coming to cinema, they perfectly had a transition from silent to sound cinema, something which the freaking Wright brothers couldn't do.
Yeah,
it's true. Just wanted to say that. But they're just so funny, and it's definitely shaped my humor a lot.
Did they do Who's on First?
No.
No.
That is Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
I love
another classic
first.
Duo.
Yeah, another classic duo. But yeah. So shout out to the writers credited as Buck Henry, David Newman, and Robert Brenton.
Yeah.
Morgan says thank you.
I do. Actually, yeah. I do say thank you.
And they all have like crazy, we were also talking about this. They have crazy like track records.
Oh yeah, Buck Henry credited
the
writer
graduate.
For The Graduate.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Candy, Ringo stars in that.
Yo,
wow.
Candy, Catch 22, David
not
Dolphin.
Good. Don't watch
does
Candy.
What is Ringo Starr playing? Candy.
Ringo Starr was in a bunch of like
Manual.
Random. He plays a Mexican guy in this movie. He's in like a bunch of random like screwball comedies in the 70s. And he was also in this caveman film.
What?
In which he was like a cave person and he's like running around, and yeah, he was in another bizarro movie, The Magic Christian. He was in a bunch of movies because he was like, I'm a movie star now. And even though he's like clearly like, if you watch the Beatles films, like he's the weakest actor out of the four of them, maybe Paul second weakest, but
oh, Ringo Starr is also in Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping.
Of course,
it's
and he's in Listomania
now.
It's legal now.
It's legal now.
He's in Listomania with Roger Daltrey as well, which is funny. That's fun for me.
There you go. Oh, I see the caveman movie.
Yeah, it's called Caveman. Oh, there we go.
The character he played was called a toque.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Son of Dracula as Merlin the
Magician. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've seen pictures of this. Yeah, okay. He's in a bunch of like really weird, like defunct. And there's the Ringo Starr comedy thing there. Too like
he's
his comedy
Powerpuff
special
Girls?
And I think he does the song I Wanna Be a Powerpuff Girl. You guys not seen
you
that?
You could genuinely be lying to me right now.
He's in a tutu and he's singing I Wanna Be a Powerpuff Girl.
Wow. Wow, this is making me realize I know nothing about him.
He was Thomas. Oh, I knew this.
He was
I
the
knew
narrator.
This. I knew that he was the narrator on Thomas the Tank Engine. I knew this.
Oh.
Wow.
I like that. That's
impromptu
what, like,
Ringo Starr history lesson.
Well, that's because he was connected to Candy written by Buck Henry.
Buck Henry wrote Protocol? Oh my God, that movie's fucking awful. That's one of the worst movies I watched this year.
Which one? Where?
Protocol. Do not watch this movie, bro. Do not watch Protocol with Goldie Hawn. Guys, it is so racist.
Oh. Yeah, it's about an emir, so.
Yeah, she goes to the Middle East by the end, and like all like, and it's like a vague like Middle East, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's just like fully racist. And like, she's like, I'm here to stop terrorism.
It's like, I'm in the country.
Did it work?
The Middle East.
No. Did she stop terrorism? Like,
I don't even remember. I can't even figure out what's going on.
And I'm
going
to stop terrorism.
I think I have this at like a like half star. Like, it was so like I actually tapped out halfway through. Like, I had to have like my eyes like glaze over. Like, because I couldn't handle
Damn,
how racist
so
it was.
You win some, you lose some. I
literally
guess.
That's actually crazy that he helped write one of my favorite movies.
Someone said that this has Capra-esque idealism. Wow. Misinterpreted
it does not.
Capra-esque. Misinterpreted
yeah.
Capra-esque idealism. Wow, this review says I think I've done a lot of drugs in my life, but then there's films like these that absolutely humble me.
Yeah, like Goldie Hawn, she stops an assassination. And then
why she have a baseball bat and a basketball in her arms?
A key political figure. I don't
she's
know.
American.
Because she's yeah.
She's American. What do you mean?
And she like, also has
and
a boombox.
Boom
yeah.
Wow.
And she becomes a key figure in like the ecosystem of the White House somehow. And she basically becomes like, this like
she girlballs her way into
the
White House.
Yeah, face for the United States. She becomes like the Minister of Foreign Affairs or something.
What? Is she doing like USO tours?
No. She's not a performer or anything. She's just like a country bumpkin. Like she's
like
actually chungus.
Is she educated at all?
No.
Oh.
She's just pretty. She's a waitress.
That's, wow.
So
wow.
She's just like useless at her job. Anyway.
Well, another writer for the film, David Newman, wrote Superman 1978.
Yo, he wrote Bonnie and Clyde too.
Yes.
I just saw that this year as well.
And
well, he also wrote a lot of other Supermans.
Michael Jackson.
Yes, but I wanted to mention Superman 1978, which Margot and I's instructor from VFS, Rick Drew, worked on.
Yes.
He was part of the
Shout out Rick.
The Smallville B team when they were filming in Alberta. And he got to witness them do the thing where Superman, he like kicks the football and it goes super far. Mm-hmm. And he said what they actually did is put a football in a cannon.
That's
and
sick.
Fire it and just with the camera make it look like
yeah. So cool. Whoever approved that is
Shout
a genius.
Shout out Rick Drew.
Literally, what's the other writer done? Isn't there a third guy?
There is a third guy. Let's
see. There was a third man.
The third property brother, Robert Brunton.
No. Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer also Kramer. A writer on Superman
and Bonnie and Clyde.
Yo, wait, they're like buddies.
That's so cute.
Nadine, I've heard. Oh, was that in the Still of the Night? Oh, this is Still of the Night.
Oh.
Robert Benton, yeah. With Meryl Streep.
Oh, wow.
Hey, there you go. There you go, guys. You can do anything in life.
True.
But going back to the movie, would you guys say that you'd want this movie to happen to you?
Yes. I want to be Judy.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. I would also want to be Judy. Because, like,
she's so smart.
I love that you're all hesitant, but you're all like, yes.
No, we just had a thing.
There's so many hijinks in it.
Yeah, like, there's, like, this whole thing where they all have the same bag, and there's all different important information in the bags, and they all get swapped, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
And then, like, she's pretending to be his wife, and she's just really...
Just for no reason,
just,
really.
Yeah, she just likes him. She's like, wait, look, he cute, though.
She just sees him and...
Kind of real for that.
Yeah.
She's like Kobe, the Kobe of like manipulation in this movie. Like she's
like
she gets
the basketball
nothing,
player.
Yeah.
Kobe. Okay.
She gets like nothing but net. Like everyone believes her.
Wow. Sports reference on the
pod. I was not expecting you to make like a Kobe reference, Margo.
Neither was I.
I don't know.
Sometimes
like, Kobe? I could be
sporty. I was like Kobe beef. Like
that's also a likely
like a
reference
high degree.
Yeah.
I'd love to be Judy, but I can see myself being Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Hey.
There you go.
You
guys,
know who
I don't want to be, bro? Eunice.
No.
Oh,
I wouldn't
no.
want to be either.
Bro, you fumble Ryan O'Neal. You fumble peak, tanned Ryan O'Neal.
Yeah.
Naturally fit.
Literally.
Literally.
Look up.
Coming off of his
Dorsa, look up
era.
Ryan O'Neal What's Up Doc shirtless right now.
Yeah, he has a little bow tie on.
Oh. Yeah. Also, fun fact, Ryan O'Neal used to be a boxer.
Oh, well, maybe that's why he's so fit.
Well, he used to be a baka.
Bro, he was. He was a baka in life. He was a fucking asshole.
Oh, I've seen this clip all over Instagram. It's all like, what's up, doc? Like movie clip. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bro. Yeah.
Which is also why in the boxing scene for Barry Lyndon, he's just like, oh, yeah. So doing it.
Epic.
That scene, so sexy. Like, yeah. Barry Lyndon, horrible guy. Ryan O'Neal, horrible guy. But he's so beautiful.
He's an amateur boxer. This is according to someone on Facebook, so please do not say that this is the best sort, that I'm trying to tell you the truth. But Ryan O'Neal was born today, 1941. As an amateur boxer, O'Neal had an 18-4 record with 13 knockouts, says someone that means on Facebook.
I will say.
What do you mean, whatever that means? It's his win-to-loss ratio.
My bad. See, this boxer. Is why they didn't expect me to make a sports reference.
What I will say about this photo, though, it's like, guys, if you look it up, there's a photo of him as a boxer, and low-key, he looks like Hank from Twin Peaks.
Stop! I was going to say that! I was going to say he looks like Hank Jennings from Twin Peaks.
Just like Hank from Twin Peaks, which is kind of scary, because Hank's...
he's horrible.
He's a horrible guy.
I love the pictures of him and Barbara Streisand boxing. That's really cute. Oh. That's for a different movie, The Main Event. I didn't know they were in another movie together.
Wow, they must have just had such good chemistry.
A bankrupt entrepreneur attempts to recoup some of her losses by getting a washed-up boxer she picked up as a tax loss back into the ring. An idea her protege isn't fond of.
Wow.
What year did that come out?
1979. So
like 6 years later.
Yeah. The year of the revolution, the Islamic revolution in Iran.
Yo. Were they watching The Main Event?
I don't know, bro.
In Iran.
Where were you during the main
event? They had a different main event going on.
They did.
Yeah.
They had a more important shit to be getting to. But
release the main event Shah of Iran cut.
Wow. If you guys go to www.babyjane.net.
Yo! Whatever happened to Baby Jane? Whatever happened to her?
Yo, wait. Can you look that up, though? Can you go on www.babyjane.net?
Yes, please. For me.
Yeah.
.net?
Wow,
Baby Jane of Hollywood.
It's a pink website.
Scroll to the bottom for our address.
Oh, cool.
Autographs, costumes, photographs, posters. Oh, it's celebrity collectibles.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Roy, and I'll do my best to help you find that perfect
Well, you're
gift.
Not Baby Jane. Whatever happened to her?
There's also a Facebook account.
It's a store in West Hollywood.
Yeah, wow. Currently online orders only. Great.
Oh.
So
all the better for us.
Yeah, can I buy Ryan O'Neal collectibles?
You can just buy Ryan O'Neal.
A restaurant?
What?
Please like me on Facebook to receive updates on new material.
Bro, imagine if a celebrity died and like their family was so money hungry, they like got them cremated and then they sold small portions of their ashes.
I feel like someone would definitely do that.
To
that's
Roy
not,
from Baby yes. Jane.
That's
of
not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Like people are evil in Hollywood.
Bro, oh, yeah. wait like 5 years and people.
$500.
You can get freaking ashes on TikTok shop, bro.
Stop. For $500, you can get. One milligram.
One bump of
Ryan O'Neal's ashes.
I want the ashes of his boxing gloves, though.
Why are they burning them?
Bro, some billionaire is going to accidentally listen to this podcast episode and get inspired by
this
what
is a great idea.
I'm going to kill myself and I'm going to sell my
you
ashes.
You could own your favorite celebrity in just a small container.
Wait, you could like fake your death and then sell it and then you get the profits of it.
Oh, this is kind of like
a plot of a movie.
Like medieval what was it called? Where it'd be like, this is a piece of Saint Augustus's fingernail.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
Oh, or like that one person who had a piece of carpet from when the Pope had walked on it.
Yeah. Oh, in Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that post.
Carpet from when
that's just Catholic culture.
Yeah. It is like 'cause every time that you were like buried though, you had to be buried with like something.
What? Persian carpet under the Pope's coffin?
I'm referring to how when new churches are founded in Catholicism, oftentimes you have like big fancy churches, you have like a piece of like a veneration of like a saint, like, you know, maybe their hand mm-hmm. or like a piece of something they wore.
Weren't they like if you're buried, there's like something like near your like grave of your. Am I misremembering something?
Near your grave of what?
I don't know. Like,
wait, are you talking about vampires?
That might be vampires. Because you need your home soil.
Need, like, their soil
in your coffin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ignore me.
That's okay. It's okay.
That's fine. But guys, apparently there was a Persian carpet in the Pope's funeral, like Pope Francis.
Yo, he had taste.
And trust every single Persian Instagram account was posting about it, bro. This is crazy. Wow. And of course, there's someone, of course, freaking Turkey at today's, was it Turkish style carpet used? I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to get into Middle Eastern politics about, not politics, about like who invented what or whatever. I'm not going to get into that, but it looks like a Persian rug to me. I don't know.
Your favorite screwball scene, Haley?
Ooh, in What's Up, Doc?
What's Up, Doc? Getting back to.
I mean, there's a bit during the car chase where they do kind of like a U-turn to try and evade all the cars chasing them. And all three cars slam into the same random van.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so good. He has nothing to do with it. He's just completely impacted by this.
It flattens it like a pancake, and he comes out of his house. He's like, what? He's like, hands, like, side of head, like, upset.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, having two people moving a giant pane of glass, and you're just waiting for it to break the entire time.
I enjoy that bit a lot. Yeah. Just across things.
Yeah.
I'm like, haha.
Whenever I see like two people bringing out a pane of glass.
Yeah.
In, like a movie, it's always like, yes.
No, literally. I also like when two people are carrying a ladder because you know that someone's going to get hit in the head with that.
Yeah. Moving a piano.
True.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
True.
Classic piano flattening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, a lot of these can be seen in, oh my gosh, what's the episode name? Me furiously typing Mystery Spot, the Supernatural episode, because like literally like half, he gets flattened by a piano, he gets like ridiculously hit by a car because he's like in a time loop dying, like in the days reset whenever Dean, one of the brothers, dies,
just like in Happy Death Day.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, Morgan, you
and
love
that's,
that
that's what it is. So he has to, it's kind of sad because he has to witness his brother die in like horrific ways like over 100 like times, like 100 different Tuesdays or whatever. But yeah, I think he literally gets an anvil dropped on him at one point. Yeah. Like,
so when we were talking about time loops and Happy Death Day, you didn't want to bring this up?
I actually completely forgot, and then I actually rewatched this episode recently, and I...
That sounds awesome. What season is that from?
Season 3.
Season 3 is when I stopped watching, so...
This is episode 11 in season 3.
Damn, I guess I didn't get that far.
Bro, you almost hit, like... gold. It's like the miners, they're like clawing.
Right, I almost got introduced to what's his name, the angel?
Oh, Castiel.
Yep, that's what I meant by an M sound. Castiel. I thought his name was Micah. Is his actual name Micah? Micah Collins?
Misha Collins.
I was close.
There you go. I was like, there's another angel called Michael.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that. That's
fake bisexual Misha Collins. The silence after that, guys. Come on. Everyone knows that he came out as bisexual and then rescinded it.
Yeah,
come on.
I did remember that. I just, that like actually killed me. And it was either silence or spontaneous combustion. So I decided to spare this recording studio and you guys. I think it's funny though that he got married in a wedding dress and his wife was wearing a suit. But then they're not even together anymore.
What?
I found out they got divorced. I didn't know this. Okay, guys. For those of you that have been out of the loop. First of all, that's really funny that the first picture of him that shows up is him pointing at the Louvre.
Oh my God, he did.
Could
it.
Did he know?
Oh, wait. I didn't even freaking. Yeah, they freaking were married from 2001 to 2021. 20 years.
Damn.
Can I confess something? Ever since the fake bisexual thing, I really haven't liked Misha Collins that much. I know that some of our friends really love Misha Collins.
He's done
Collins.
A lot of charity work, which I think respect.
That's respectable. I'm just not fond of the guy.
That's fine.
Something about him I don't like.
There you go.
I'm like that's Dokes, fair. Guys, on this podcast. I'm always like, there's something about this person I
have
don't like.
I have actually zero opinion on him. I just know that people were like him and Dean...
Oh, yeah. They should be together.
I mean, they were like the number one ship on Tumblr. The entire reason the fan fiction website Archive of Our Own exists is because of Destiel.
Wow. Look at that.
So, but someone from 4 years ago on Reddit is saying, I saw his acknowledgement saying that they're separated. It's sad, but separated mean there's still hope and that they'll reconcile and not get divorced from 4 years ago.
Damn. Rude awakening.
Awkward.
The only thing about Misha that I can really remember is when they'd post that one photo of him.
Oh, the Misha Apocalypse on Tumblr.
Yes. Misha Apocalypse. That was for Gishwiz, the charity thing he did every year.
Yeah. I just remember him at one point being like, I hate this photo. Please stop using it.
Is that the charity thing he did every year or he does every year? Did he stop doing it?
I think like he still does it, but it's not called the same thing anymore. So it's not like the one organization that was like, it was like Gishwiz or whatever.
Oh, that photo.
Yes, this photo. Yeah, I remember people.
Oh,
yeah. Gish wishes. Yeah. I don't know.
I never heard
remember why it was.
I clearly
that,
just
but.
Was not.
Oh, greatest international scavenger hunt.
That's because
it was
sick.
Like you had to do these challenges or whatever. But like, I don't remember how it like was for charity though.
Damn, did it raise money?
I think so.
So like. Challenge number one, give me $10. Challenge number two, give me $1,000.
No, I don't think you had to do. I don't think you had to do like. Dude, I don't know. Gishwiz.
Oh, okay. Whoever, like, if these people make it this far, I, Misha Collins, will donate $1 million. It's like that.
I don't know, bro.
Don't
know.
Maybe it was like the ice bucket challenge.
Oh, yeah. Just be people being posers, just trying to raise awareness for scavenger hunts. Sorry, I don't know where he's giving his money. Sorry, I do not know anything about Misha Collins.
Yeah, it was different charities each year.
He can't just pick one thing that he likes. One thing to support.
that really got me. I'm trying to find like any of the freaking.
You can't find where he donated the money. See,
what charities was it?
Money laundering scheme. He actually just kept it all for himself.
My dokesness was right.
Yeah,
I want to know, bro.
And then his wife found out, and that's why they got a divorce.
Whoa,
various
guys, we've uncovered something here.
Oh, one of them was random acts.
Suit for slander.
Non-profit.
So you just do random acts of kindness?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, random acts of kindness around the world.
But then how do they get money?
Why do you donate money for people doing random acts? Why don't you just do the random acts of kindness?
Well, the random act of kindness is like also like giving people food and I see. And like building homes, I think.
But,
and stuff
my bad.
Like
but
that.
If I was just doing that, why do I have to be part of a charity? Why can't I just give someone food?
You absolutely can. Yeah, people, the cleanups. Yeah, it was, this is like a rent. Yeah, this is a whatever. Charity, yeah.
If I join this, is it then a random act because I'm pre-planning it?
Ooh.
Premeditated.
It's no longer a random
act of kindness.
Premeditated.
So then does it hold the same worth?
Ooh, yeah.
And like value.
It's not spontaneous.
If like you were like, I guess I have to do an act of kindness. I guess I have to, you know, give some starving children some food.
I've already committed.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Wow.
Is that genuine?
So people can you can like, so you think of like an act of kindness, like a beach cleanup, let's say, and then you do like a budget for it. You do a proposed budget and then you apply it. So you can apply and then like they'll fund your.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the charity
I'm
is.
Into
that's
this.
Why it's so vague because I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So you. You pick an act of kindness you want to do, you budget it, and then you apply, and hopefully they approve
it. Is this only
it.
In America, or can we do this in Canada?
It says org.
So all over?
Let me see.
Organization.
How do I...
While you guys are looking at this, I'm just going to provide you with some evil things that Ryan O'Neill did. So,
great.
Ryan O'Neill, famous good guy.
Oh,
famous great guy. So, Ryan O'Neill, he had relationships with a bunch of women... He Fair was Lindenborn. Married to Joanna Moore in 1963. They had two children, separated at 66. Lost custody of their children. She lost custody of their children to him because she was an alcoholic and had a drug addiction.
Oh.
His second marriage was to his actress and former Peyton Place co-star, which is where he cut his teeth, which is a soap opera, originally soap opera actor O'Neill.
He cut his teeth?
Cut his teeth, like, as in, like, he got his acting chops. He first started. It's an expression.
Oh.
I hadn't heard it before.
I also,
it's okay. Me and my own expressions versus the world. So he was, his second marriage was to Leigh Taylor Young, with whom he had a son. They remained friends after divorcing in 73. She said, I could speak to parts of Ryan, like temper and volatility and reactivity. Guys, hints. But I deeply know his goodness. Okay. He was in a relationship with Farrah Fawcett from 1979 to 1997.
Wow.
Relationship was tumultuous due to his infidelity and volatile behavior. They reunited in 2001 and were together until her death in 2009.
Wow.
So he had other romances with Ursula Andress, Bianca Jagger, Anouk Amid, Jacqueline Bisset, Barbara Streisand, Joan Collins, Diana Ross, Angelica Houston.
Wow.
This is all Angelica while he was Houston? With Farrah Fawcett?
I don't know. I assume so.
Angelica Houston.
And according to his daughter, Tatum, who starred in Paper Moon with him, he also had an affair with Melanie Griffith. In her 2014 memoir, Angelica Houston claimed that O'Neill physically abused her. Not surprising.
That would, like, bro, you're dating a boxer.
Bro, imagine.
He physically abuses? That's so scary. Ooh,
literally.
Like, imagine scary you pull boxer, Angelica yeah. Houston and you fumble.
That's Angelica Houston.
Yes.
I'm bad with names.
That's okay.
Also, Melanie Griffith, Dakota Johnson's mom?
Yeah, yes. I believe so.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
For several years, he was estranged from his three elder children. He said, I'm a hopeless father. I don't know why. I don't think I was supposed to be a father. Just look around at my work. They're either in jail or they should be, he told Vanity Fair.
To Vanity Fair.
They should be?
Tatum wrote in her autobiography, A Paper Life, that she had suffered physical and emotional abuse as a result of her father's drug abuse. Griffin O'Neill suggested their family's problems stem from Ryan. My father gave me cocaine when I was 11 and insisted I take it, he said. Griffin added, he was very abusive, narcissistic, psychopathic. He gets so mad he can't control anything he's doing. This is crazy. This is the craziest part. I literally, you guys were talking about Misha Collins and I was reading this and my jaw dropped and I was like, in 2007, O'Neill was arrested for shooting at Griffin, his son, which he claimed was in self-defense. Charges were dropped. O'Neill refused to allow Griffin to attend Farrah Fawcett's funeral in 2009. Here's the craziest part. He hit on Tatum at Fawcett's funeral, not recognizing her as his daughter.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is overall great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
he's
I'm hearing
really
is
father figure.
He's a sweetie. In What's Up, Doc, we're separating the art from the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, in Paper Moon, he also doesn't recognize her as his daughter, but like in a different way.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's redonk.
It is redonk. Top 10 times actors weren't acting, Paper Moon. Right. Barry
Lyndon.
Stop. Barry Lyndon.
Stop.
But yeah, he's a piece of shit. And I just thought, I did not know that he hit on his daughter at his
Farrah Fawcett's crazy
funeral. That's crazy.
Son, you can't come to her funeral.
Getting accidentally hit on by a family member gotta be one of the scariest experiences.
Also, sorry, I just want to go back a little. He shot at his son in self-defense and the charges were dropped.
Yeah.
Well, how old was his son and what was he doing?
I don't know. Hold
also,
on,
I can't believe just being like, here, my 11-year-old son, have this cocaine. You have to have it. You actually have to.
Yeah.
Bro, peer like, pressuring his own
11-year-old
son.
Giving your 11-year-old like alcohol is like can be questionable. And then cocaine is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like you
that
have
would be so
to.
Damaging for his to. Like... brain development
in septum, bro.
Yeah.
little baby cartilage, 11 years old, that shit's not fully developed. Your cartilage is soft.
Yeah.
Soft.
Bro, 2000 article headline from the Globe and Mail, shout out Ryan O'Neill defends his actions in shooting at son.
What?
Okay, let's see,
defends his actions.
Is he dead? Is Ryan O'Neill dead?
Yeah, he died in 2023.
Damn.
There you go.
R.I.P.
Actor Ryan O'Neill has defended himself after his weekend arrest investigation of assault, saying he grabbed a gun and fired only after his adult son swung a fireplace poker that grazed him several times. O'Neill told Los Angeles Times that the incident occurred after he arrived home with a group of friends, including Farrah Fawcett. The group had been celebrating Fawcett's 60th birthday. In fact, she was cancer-free after 4 months of treatment. A 65-year-old actor and his son, Griffin, 42, had been visiting and grabbed a fireplace poker and started swinging it. He aimed it at my head. I ducked. He hit his own girlfriend in the head. I got a little nervous at that point, and I fled to my room and got my gun. O'Neill said his son began to come up the stairs with the poker. So I just fired it into the banister, and that scared him off, and he fled.
Top 10 times Ryan O'Neill was right. Okay, you know what? Was this the same son that he gave cocaine to? If it was, you can't be questioning why he'd be acting that way. You gave him cocaine as a preteen.
and was just
as a little boy.
Do you think he's going to be a well-adjusted adult? And hey, if he's not, whose fault is that?
Yes, it was. It was Griffin that he gave the cocaine to.
Wow.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Well, in case you were curious about randomacts.org, you connect with a regional representative in your region that can help you perform an act. And they have several methods of support and assistance available to anyone wanting to perform an act of kindness for someone in their local community with funding up to $500.
Wow.
So I like that it focuses on like little, doing a lot of little things.
Yeah, I'm into that.
You feel that impact more, I feel like.
Yeah.
But in case, you know, you guys were like actually crying and crying me, like, when am I going to learn more about that charity?
When am I going to learn more about that charity and less about Ryan O'Neill?
Like, don't worry, I got you.
Don't worry, I don't got you. I'm coming to get you, like Ryan O'Neill.
Oh. Well, he can't get us now.
Nope.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, but Ryan O'Neill ashes. $1 million. Ryan O'Neill ash sale, random act of kindness. It's what he would have wanted. I'm making his ashes into bullets. I'm loading them into a gun. I'm shooting them at his son, Griffin.
He would have wanted that.
That's what he would have wanted.
Mix them in with the cocaine that he keeps offering to people.
Okay, what happens if you like mix ashes with cocaine? Like, do you think it would make it like stronger?
I don't think it'd do anything except make you sad.
Maybe
you snorted grandpa.
Yeah.
No, but would that like low-key like, I do you like... think that like you're high, but you're like, yo, I'm low-key high on my grandpa now.
Yo, you take a bump and you're like, I remember the war through him.
Yo, ancestral how to unlock ancestral trauma.
I feel like you'd probably be more likely to get like an infection because I feel like you're probably not supposed to put like human remains in your sinuses.
Okay, wait, look it up.
Before I look that up, I just want to let you know that on bidspirit.com, lot 14, there is a Ryan O'Neill signed 10x8 color photo.
I don't want this.
Starting prize £14.
Okay, so my ash idea is not going to go well.
Sorry, the auction took place in 2022, but the item was not sold.
Nobody wanted it.
But you can add it to your wish list.
Who's shocked that no one wanted that?
Yeah. He did shoot at his son in 2007 or 2009 or whatever.
Yeah.
2007, actually.
Well, okay. Well,
just like Alec Baldwin, famous dads that are
famous
really great.
Good father.
I'm going to come there. I'm going to straighten you out. ridiculous way to talk to you, like your child.
That recording is so funny because he's like, all the evidence, he's saying it into the mic. He's like, I don't care if you're 11 or 12 years old.
The phone works both ways. Like, he's like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's actually ridiculous. You fat little pig. He, like, calls her, like, a fat little pig. It's, like, actually ridiculous. Should you snort human?
Every chance Alec Baldwin in that voicemail, he's like, I don't care if you're my 11-year-old daughter. I think you are a pig. Like, he's crazy. So specific.
No, literally, it's like, hello, my daughter. You are related to me. You are 11 years old. This is how I feel about you.
Bro, him and Ryan O'Neill, they needed to hang.
Yeah,
bro. It's okay. Let's overwork Tatum. Let's get a couple hours more on set for Tatum. She's 11 years old or whatever, however old she was.
I think that if they met, the world would have been slightly worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they were like,
let's get Charlie Sheen in there, too.
Stop. Yeah. No. Who we really need is Eric Clapton. Child safety advocates.
He's my favorite guy ever. He's not one of the people I hate the most on this earth.
Well, I'm on r/ask funeral directors. And I guess I know someone who said they ate some of their mom's ashes. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
I just wanted to be close with her.
Kind of a great sci-fi movie idea.
People eating ashes.
Well, I've seen that you can make, this is unrelated to eating ashes, but you can make ashes into like a vinyl. Like, you can press them. And I think that's really cool.
You can grow them into a tree.
Yeah, I really like, no, wasn't that debunked?
Oh, was it?
Wasn't that like, they don't have the technology yet?
Oh.
Wasn't that one of those things?
I don't know.
I don't actually know.
Can't they like send you to space or something? Can't you like,
that's
they,
such like, a waste of money and resources.
I know,
that's,
and it's like, you're just, it's like, yes, let me be a piece of trash in space.
Literally.
Let me help.
Let me burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cold, cold vacuum.
Yeah. Where I can be alone forever.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not good to like inhale any sort of fine dust. Like, that's like not good for you. Oh. So I guess it would depend on
the process.
I could have
told you that. I'm coating my lungs with Ryan O'Neill ashes.
mixed in some asbestos, bro.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I don't fiberglass.
Yeah. Guys,
I'm cured forever from everything. Wow. Never getting sick again.
Healthy lungs.
On the topic of dust inhalation, if anyone listening to this podcast was like, man, you know where I want to work? A steel mill. Don't. If you have a dust allergy. Because I did, and I have a dust allergy, and it's been really bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Ever
You're
since.
Getting better.
It's true. And I worked there in 2023, after
one
first
of those?
Year.
Yeah.
The year after.
2023.
So 2023. That would have
been summer of 2023.
Yeah, so we're almost 2.5 years later, and
I'm still
feeling repercussions from breathing in industrial dust.
I remember meeting you at the Pink Floyd exhibit in Toronto, and I hadn't seen you like all summer. Like since you had been working at DeFasco, and you were like, hey, sorry, it's just like this sometimes. I was like, what are they doing to her?
No, okay, mill? Wait, let me clear DeFasco's name real quick. sorry.
My bad, DeFasco.
They were...
No slander, please.
No slander on DeFasco. They told me to wear a dust mask. It was just so hot.
I was going to say, if any of you work with PPE or just like you have a respirator or something... If this is something that you're going to, you know, go into for your whole life, like you're going to the trades, please use it
please
properly.
Wear your PPE. I wore my PPE sometimes, but we had this thing that was like this green stuff. I forget what we called it, but we put it on the dust because we had to sweep up dust. Sorry, my job was sweeping up dust, part of it. Anyways, so we would put it on the dust so it would be heavy and weigh it down so it wouldn't come up, you know, and then we could sweep it up. Later found out that green stuff had carcinogens in it. So we were breathing in like poison. Mm-hmm. So it was a mix of a few things. So that's why we weren't wearing the masks at first, because we had this green stuff and we're like, oh, it's totally fine. We don't need to wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that it, you know, carcinogens, and we were like, oh. And so then we started wearing the masks after we found out
that
there was
cancerous
stuff.
I was going to do that.
That's what the point of the mask is.
Yeah. So anyways, side tangent. If you guys are allergic to dust, don't work in steel mill. If you're not allergic to dust, work in the steel mill.
Maybe if you have like asthma, also don't work in a steel mill.
Picking up off of that. So, you know, dust, you know, that sometimes comes from rocks. You know who loves rocks?
Howard Stern.
And what's up, Doc? See, this is a reason, Dorsa, why you need to watch this film. Because you know what you love? Rocks.
Flintstones. Yes.
And minerals. And
he talks a lot about minerals.
He does.
I do love
rocks. He's using a tuning fork and he keeps hitting rocks and he's being like, these are my... What type of rocks are they?
Sedimentary.
Igneous
rocks.
Yeah. And he keeps being like, I think that cavemen made music from these rocks because of the sounds.
It's all about music and rocks, and you love music and rocks.
I want a rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but then Lucy?
Rock.
Eunice?
Judy. Yeah. Judy, sorry, I'm really not locked in. Then Judy talks about how she likes like other types of rocks more than igneous, like, you know, like, sedimentary and quartz and all that good fun stuff,
which
is what I prefer too.
But really, she likes him.
Honestly, who wouldn't though?
Yeah, it's like if she was a cartoon character, like her eyes would turn to hearts and her tongue would roll out of her mouth.
I love Barbara Streisand in this movie a lot. I love Barbara Streisand in a lot of her movies. But in this movie, she's the top. Because that's what she sings at the beginning. You're the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious joke from me. Hilarious reference everyone understood and got.
Yes.
Most of all me.
Yep. Most of all
you.
Me.
I watched this movie with Spencer, and as soon as it started, he's like, oh, that's What's the Top from.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. No.
Big fan of show tunes.
You're the top. I would listen to that song, not the Barbara Streisand version, but a different one, walking to Tim Hortons. Don't know why.
Real.
Wow.
In like 2 summers ago.
Oh, I would love to listen to when I was like in like grade 7 or 8. Oh, my man, I love him so.
Oh, yes. Oh, my man, I love him so.
That would come on my, like, Dollarama earbuds, and I was like, yes, this bus ride home is going to be so good.
Thanks, Babs.
Oh, my man, I love him so.
That was real. Speaking of musicals, I just saw Wicked for Good.
Wow.
But there wasn't as much choreographed dance numbers in this one.
That's what Drew said.
Yeah, it was more of just kind of, like, person singing staging alone, and then they're with another person, and then they're singing, and then they're together, and then they hug. And I was like, okay, why am I not getting colorful people spinning around and like stuff? Like,
there's where Busby Berkeley at?
No, literally, I was like, in the first movie, there was so much color. It was so fun and vibrant and visually stimulating. And this one, I was like, what's going on, guys? I was like, what is this?
That's a big problem with movie adaptations of musicals. A lot of times they don't like kind of stage it as if it's like a stage, or like it's just not as dynamic. Because especially with like this new phenomenon in like a lot of movies where like I saw some post about this, to be honest, where it's like the focus of things, it's like very very deep, yeah, not deep focus, shallow.
I was just watching
focus.
It's just about that,
it's like on the subject and like everything else behind it is just kind of like blurry, like it looks like it's like on the iPhone portrait mode.
They've been removing the background and like kind of having that feeling of stepping.
How am
into
I
it?
Supposed to see the munchkin man hanging in the back? Okay.
The back is blurry.
How am I supposed to spot that morbid little Easter egg?
Yeah. Actually, all the munchkins in the Wicked movies are ginger, and they are very racist against the munchkins in specifically Wicked for Good. Spoiler. If it's okay. It's not a real spoiler. She's like,
I'm gonna know what happens.
Yo, Bok, like, you want me? And he's like, no. And then she's like, oh, okay, well, now no munchkins are allowed to leave without my permission. And it's like, huh?
Oh.
And so, and then, but all the munchkins are ginger, so I was low-key personally vindicated.
Wow. Who says this to Bok? Like, no munchkins can leave.
Nessa. It's Nessa. Alphaba's sister.
Yes, yes.
You know, the one who's like, me and Bok.
Me and Bok.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yes.
Bro, I saw a production of Wicked, like, on the stage.
Wow.
Many years ago, and guys, I genuinely, I came out of Wicked. I said, wow, that was incredible. I love Wicked. I'm going to buy a t-shirt. Mom, buy me a t-shirt. I'm 11 years old. You have to buy me a t-shirt. We're standing in this line for half an hour. And then I left. T-shirt disappeared after like 2 months. Don't know where it went. Can't find it in my things. And I don't remember anything about Wicked at all.
Well, don't watch the movies hoping that it'll like recreate that feeling for you.
I know it won't. I'm the least, I think I'm the lowest on the musical fan tier here. I like musicals the least out of everyone here,
probably.
I'd say.
Probably. No.
I've been on a
whimsy.
Real musical kick.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ever since watching Little Shop of Horrors, which
I haven't seen.
I'm the only one in this room.
Yeah. But then you made that epic Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's true. I know like so many songs from it.
Yes, that's true.
But I also, for some reason, they made us like do a choreograph for the opening number, like of that, like in vocals class for some reason in high school. They're like, you have to learn to dance. And I was like, what's going on? Thankfully, it was for one day only. I was like,
Little Shop of Horrors.
It was like, bop, shit, bop. Yeah. And like, it was like with the side to side, and like everyone like went like back, like people were walking and then like they went back. So like people would be like, yeah, it was freaking so much fun. I loved it.
That sounds visually dynamic.
Wow.
And Jonathan Groff did an off-Broadway rendition.
And he spat all over the place.
That's just everyone performing, bro. Where'd you see Wicked, Margot? Did you see it in Toronto?
I did. I saw it. I don't know the name of the place. I can picture it in my head, and I saw a bunch of things there. I also saw Bat Out of Hell there.
Okay.
The Meatloaf musical. Mm-hmm. You guys are familiar?
Yep.
It was really good. I preferred Bat Out of Hell. Sorry.
Mm.
But I really like Meatloaf. So
there you go.
Epic.
Both the food and the singer.
Whenever I think of Meatloaf, I think of Johnny Test.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like
his
stinky,
dad was always making
like
the meatloaf.
I love Meatloaf.
His male wife dad making the meatloaf every day.
I thought there was like the singer made a cameo.
No.
Like the way like they would do on Phineas and Ferb and things.
Yeah. Yes.
And also, he did have a cameo in Rocky Horror.
Yes.
Yep.
There you
That's
go.
That's how I think of him, which was almost Elvis, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Mama.
I love Eddie. Eddie is one of my favorite Rocky Horror characters.
Hey, Mama, this horror's real rocky, Mama. And Dr. Frankenfurter, Mama.
That's okay, I feel like, in a darker timeline where Elvis was the guest.
Give me my peanut butter banana sandwich, Mama.
Wait, why is that really good?
Thank you very much.
The lowest I can go on my vocal range is Elvis. So
hey, mama.
And I went through a phase where I was obsessed with singing like certain celebrities. So I would put my Elvis greatest hits on and I'd be like, oh,
well, it's Rick and Morty time. Well, it's Rick and Morty time.
That's freaking epic, actually. But I'd say we're a couple of freaking screwballs ourselves.
Oh. Hey.
Hey. What's the big idea?
Come see me sometime.
Come listen to my podcast sometime. Oh. No.
When are we doing the special Mae West episode that I'm going to force my mom to listen to because she fucking hates Mae West?
See me sometime. Why don't you do me sometime? Ow.
Shout out Alaska's impression of Mae West on Snatch Game.
Why did you low-key slip into Alaska cadence saying that? You're like,
Shout out to Alaska. My new single, it's called Anus.
Those are album names, I think.
My new single, it's called Ryan O'Neill's Ashes.
Anything is possible.
Wow. Okay, so if anyone has Ryan O'Neill's Ashes, please let us know. Please email us.
Yeah, we have a business proposition.
Put in your order now.
Make sure to put the subject as business. Please, we don't want to get it.
Yeah, feel free to email us at our Movie Maidens Pod email.
moviemaidenspod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yerp.
Feel free.
Yeah, subject feel line, free. I have Ryan O'Neill.
I have him. You don't even need to tell us it's Ryan O'Neill.
And then you could literally buy him.
As I was saying earlier.
Yes.
Oh what gosh. Every girl wants.
Ryan O'Neill token. One refundable Ryan O'Neill token. Good AI. For one Ryan O'Neill ash capsule.
AI Ryan O'Neill to yell at you.
Stop.
To feed me cocaine.
Yes. You have to have it.
You have to. You're 11 years old. I know.
You
today
have to. You have
Yo, is
to.
That what they do on Stranger Things?
You, I like Papa. You make me do cocaine.
In mine, L.
So it mine, L.
So it mine, Ryan O'Neill.
So it mine, Ryan. Wow, so it mine, O'Neill. That's crazy. But Haley, thank you so much for coming on to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my Haley, I love her so.
Oh my Haley, I love her so.
But thank you for, putting up with our shenanigans.
Yes. Keep the song going.
Sorry. Oh my Haley, I love her so.
Oh my Haley, I love her so.
Honestly, silliest episode yet. Most screwiest.
Yeah. We just had to embody the genre, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys aren't slapping your sticks. Okay, rewind. If you guys aren't using a slapstick.
If your sticks ain't slapping, it ain't happening.
It's the stick, it better be slapping. And if you aren't
question art, it's your stick slapping.
email line moviemaidenspod.com. Is your stick slapping? I have Ryan O'Neill's ashes.
Please, surefire way to get us to
get my attention.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because our inbox is just flooding, So
literally. There's a couple crickets of made a little nest in there. Yeah. Do they live in
big
nest?
Things are coming, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big things are
big
coming.
Things are big coming.
Things are coming from the Movie Maidens podcast. And wouldn't you want to be one of those people to be in the know before we blew up, though? Like, it's like, I've been listening to them since day one. So, tell your friends, tell your enemies.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Tell Eric Clapton.
Tell Eric Clapton. In my case. You'll probably run into him at a child safety awareness conference. Subject being windows.
Balconies and windows.
And yeah, it's actually tragic. You can catch us next time. Same place, same time, same people. But we won't have our beautiful guest Haley next time.
True.
With us,
so sad.
That is true.
But thanks for listening to us, and you'll hear us next time.
Bye.
Bye.